I am longing to go somewhere tropical with lush green forests, water, and sunshine. You have no idea. I would have had at least 4 or 5 trips by now.
You're describing where I live.
I know that, and describing where Agassi just came back from.
But I understand it was a good summer. It was sunny and warm-ish.
No, she ends it with a ish.
Where Canada is warm.
Oh, you guys look so happy. So, not that I'm not happy. I just wish that, we're here on this beautiful journey. I want to be out there on a journey, I want to go explore. I want to go see what I want to see, not be cooped up.
Well, we've got a cloudy day today. So, is that like Canada?
I'm sure it's warm and beautiful just the same.
I feel sorry for you, Chris.
It's about 85, very humid. 84. It's around 20, high 20 degrees Celsius.
Oh, there you go. Life's tough. Life is tough, isn't it?
When I was in Cyprus and we had, so for Cyprus, it's like the worst weather. The worst time you can be in Cyprus is summertime,
Oh,
July
really?
and August, because it gets so hot. Right? It goes up to 40 degrees Celsius, which I don't know how to translate into Fahrenheit. But it's very, very hot. And because of, being here and it's so much cooler, I enjoyed the heat. It took a week for me to readjust to, the whole temperature thing and enjoy. I enjoyed so much. It was very nice. You go to the beach and you swim and you're wearing very little clothes and you're not worried about anything and, just a pair of shoes like a and now that I'm back, it's like it's so nice that I can, I'm not sweaty anymore all the time. So it's a very nice thing, like having change. Even like tropical, sometimes I feel like you get tired of it. So it's nice to have the seasons.
Yeah, we miss the seasons. Like sometimes we do miss the snow, but like only for short periods of time.
I mean, honestly, you could go and probably jump into water, which is like your backyard, Chris. There is absolutely no snow. You can have snow. You can have snow. Just give me your backyard. I'm happy. And what else I find is that I mean, in you too. I mean, obviously, you have extended stays, as in when like Agatha, you're traveling. But Chris, I mean, the flavors of the food, my goodness, like a banana here in Canada, which comes from Chile, which is probably picked when it's green, has a different taste. Whereas in Hawaii, I mean.
It's and like especially on this island, Kauai, it's there is definitely something about the flavors of the food, and it's not even about the variety. I mean, like avocados here, there's like apparently over 40 different avocado varieties. Who would
What?
have known? I mean, there's different pineapple varieties, there's different banana varieties, and they all taste different. Some bananas taste like apple. There's a banana that we call the ice cream banana because it has that same texture of ice cream. But even like, let's say salad leaves, you don't get as much variety. The salad leaves grown here taste different to the ones that are shipped from California. And I don't know, I mean, there's a lot of biodynamics farms here, so that's the those are the places that we normally get, our deliveries. We just go to the farm and pick up a box every week.
Nice.
And so, you know, it's kind of, it tastes different. I don't know why. It's probably the composition of the soil and just the energy of the of here. We get so much more sun and warmth compared to everywhere else. So, yeah, you can tell the moment you eat some food from that's come from the mainland, even if it's organic, right? Even if it's from California organic, and then you eat something local, it just, it's different. But it's like, but everywhere you go in the whole world, the food tastes different. It's not just the cuisine, it's the fruit and vegetables as well. Like in Thailand, when we're in Chiang Mai, like the star fruit there and the jackfruit, oh, so good. Like we have star fruit and jackfruit here. It doesn't taste as good as in Thailand. It's not as sweet, right? Mm. So,
Local food always tastes different. Like if you pick, I remember growing up, we saw fruit trees. So if we would pick our own fruit from the tree and eat it, the taste was so different rather than, you know, buying it from anywhere else. And I see the same here in a sense of like, we have a lot of vegetables and in summertime, lots of fruits on the island. When we're buying from the farm, which is non-sprayed and, you know, they're local, they're right here, they just pick them. The taste is like, wow, it's amazing. Also what you feel in your body, right? Rather than going to the supermarket. And I come back to what Chris is saying, like even if it's organic, but then it's imported, then it's a totally different taste and feel, and everything is so different. So, and even like growing your own food, right? Having some fruit, having some vegetables, having some, you know, daily stuff, how important it is and how different it tastes.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said, you know, about picking within the 100-mile radius, I think is what they say, that wherever you are, if you can find fruits, vegetables, whatever you're consuming, it energetically has all the needs that your body actually requires in the food. And the other thing that I find really fascinating is, you know, there is much to be said about picking a banana when it's ripe off a tree rather than taking a raw banana and then putting it in a dark corner in your house to let it ripen. There is definitely something going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like vine ripened for sure. Yeah, it's like it's just getting the energy, more energy from the sun. You cut it off and it's like it's stopped. Whereas when it's naturally falling off the tree, that's like the perfect ripeness. It's like it's ready, it's there, and it's had all the energy it needs from the sun, and it's there ready. Right. Yeah.
Do you have a bee situation there? Bumblebee pollination issue?
I don't think so. I mean, most farms here, I think have their own beehives. I think people are pretty conscientious about that. Yeah, because there's a lot of local honey. I mean, we had a bee swarm come and want to try and settle on our house, like in the roof the other day. So I think they're thriving. We don't have issues with pollination.
Well, that's beautiful. I know that on the West Coast here, we have quite a few hummingbirds, which also do the same work as a bumblebee. But the reason that I asked is because it was such a movement here and in the States because so many bees had actually been wiped out.
Wow.
And then when you go to a place like Tahiti, which we went back in 2012, everything is pollinated by hand, which is really bizarre. And I thought, what do you mean everything's pollinated by hand? They said, yeah, we pollinate by hand. And I said, do you not have bumblebees? So unless I got wrong information, I thought, man, you didn't need a lot of labor to do that. Right? Because, you know, the we're so intricately reliant on everything in our environment, right? Yeah. And to look at, you know, having to pollinate as a human being, having to pollinate yourself rather than have the bees or the hummingbirds or I don't know what other, you know, species out there pollinates, but
why would anyone not want free labor?
We realize after it's gone, the purpose of everything in nature. Like, you have to make something extinct in order to realize, oh, it was doing this. We didn't know prior. That's the issue here. We haven't realized it.
You know, and since we're on the topic of, you know, even just speaking of food and the necessity, you know, that it is within, no matter where you live, has everyone noticed like a huge increase in price in groceries? Like, I think we're probably gone to like, in some items, double the price.
Really? Kauai has always been expensive, so we don't really notice any difference here. This is a very interesting island because most of, you know, there's only a very small population of locals here, maybe 60 to 70,000. But tourists might make up a million odd people. I don't know how many, I don't know the exact stats, a million or two million visitors every single year that come here. So there's like from traffic jams all around the island. Like, you would think, why would you have a traffic jam on an island? But when it's, you know, tourist time, which is all the time, there's traffic jams around the island. Right now, there's nothing. So most of the supplies that are coming into the island are kind of catered towards needing to feed a million people, right? Or 2 million people. But right now, there's only 60,000 of us. So it's like, for us, it's shown up. Actually, certain things have shown up to all the Hawaiian Islands, which is, well, what happens if the shipping stops from the mainland because of all this COVID stuff, right? We don't grow enough food for the locals and the tourists on the islands, in any of the Hawaiian islands. I mean, we've got the most fertile lands to do it, but right. You think about like Maui, it was growing sugar canes over thousands of hectares. Like, why would you be growing that? Why would you not be growing food for your own locals, you know? And so it's kind of highlighting this, which is, I think, where we're starting to shift towards that, to be, you know, locally sustainable. Mm-hmm. which is very good. You know, it's reduces this reliance on you know, other places to get deliveries of things, right? When you wonder whether you ship from Mexico or you ship from China or whatever that's supplying your grains is going to just suddenly not show up the next day. So I think it's
and there's a real learning curve too, Chris. You know, when you're doing your own gardening and growing, there's a huge learning curve. I know here in Vancouver, you know, when you take a child to Save On Foods, you know, local market, they'll turn around. They think that that's where everything comes from. They don't understand. They can't connect that this fruit is actually grown, like you can grow this. I mean, and it's really, really sad because when you ask, oh, well, where do the strawberries come from? Well, they come from Safeway. Well, No, actually, they come from the backyard of somebody who's decided to grow them. It's really interesting. And I know that growing up, it wasn't like that. I mean, growing up, everyone had a garden, and everyone exchanged their seeds. Everyone exchanged whatever they picked or harvested, you know. And I look back, I look at my mother, who had limited English, and I look at our neighbor who had limited English. So my mother being Indian and my neighbor being Chinese. So she would grow the vegetables, which were very, you know, going to cater to their desires for dinner and lunch and whatever else. Whereas my mother would grow all these herbs and spices and things. And so she doesn't know what she's growing, and she doesn't know what she's, and then they're trying to communicate. And you know what? It was beautiful because they could still communicate and help each other understand that you could do this with it and you can do this with it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an alchemy of self-love in that. You're loving your garden and you're caring for it like it's your child. You get upset when something dies or a snail eats it, or, you know, you're like, oh, I was so looking forward to that lettuce, you know, or whatever it is. And and when you finally actually get to enjoy it, whether it's the herbs or the whatever it is that you're picking from it, it's like, oh, like you're receiving that. It's like this self-reflective love you kind of get back. When you buy it off the supermarket, you don't really have that. Yeah. So different. Yeah, very different.
How's things in Cyprus, Agathy? Do they do a lot of gardening and exchanging like that?
So Cyprus is very warm, very hot and dry. So there's not a lot of water. Mm-hmm. But we always had a lot of fruit trees. Mm-hmm. In every house that has a garden has fruit trees, which was something that I was shocked when we first moved to Canada, because the houses have amazing, beautiful gardens, like huge gardens, but no fruit trees. There are trees that look nice, but they don't actually produce anything. So my first question was like, okay, where are the fruit trees? You know, I want to have a fruit tree. We have all this space and you have a lot of rain here. So where are the fruit? So, for example, every house has a lemon tree in Cyprus. So there's always an exchange of lemons, because lemon trees make so many lemons that you make all these things and then you give to the neighbors. Coming back to what you're saying, Sal, you know, how people are giving and taking, and, you know, mandarins and oranges. And yes, they do. One thing that has happened, and it's coming, you know, from all the discussions, and is that, for example, a part of Cyprus has banana trees. Right? What happens is that, like, some years ago, the bananas, the local bananas, were going abroad, so we were buying imported bananas.
Uh-oh.
Which is very funny, in a sense of, you know, your place, your country produces a specific fruit, but you are buying imported.
Yeah. And
I think with everything that has happened and is happening in the world, so many people have realized the importance of having your own, or creating a local, you know, community that you have what you need in regards to, you know, food and everything else. And it's, I was talking with a friend when I was in Cyprus, and she was telling me, she comes from a village in Greece. Greece has an amazing weather, fertile lands, and like it has warmth, and then it has coolness in the north, and it's just such the best place, you know, to grow different things. So I don't know, 20 years ago, they came to the farmers in that village and they told them, we will pay you if you stop planting.
What?
Yes. So they paid them and they stopped planting. So they stopped planting, you know, tobacco, or they had cherries, and they had, you know, different kind of stuff, and they stopped. So all the farmers, for I don't know, X amount of years, stopped nurturing the land and stopped planting things and all that kind of stuff. So everything that the village or the areas around we're getting now, we're either from different areas of Greece or we're imported. And then, I don't know, X amount of years later, the funding stopped, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, you know, you stop planting this and you plant this. It was, you stop planting and that was it. So when this friend was telling me, I was like, a shock. I said, but why? And why would they stop? Like, wouldn't they think that, okay, what's going on?
That's right.
So you come back to today where there is actually nothing, or the produce, people are now starting again to create local produce because they stopped for, you know, the different reasons in the past. But we've created a society that is not sustainable. It was built on, you know, wrong ideas and profit and greed and, you know, this kind of stuff. So I think that one of the lessons that we're getting today, and it's a good thing. It's a, you know, it's an experience. As we said, you know, we have to see that things don't work, or, you know, that was their purpose. Now it's being extinct. That's why we need it.
That's right.
So doing it again, like, you know, starting again, creating these local farms and for us, right? And it's not just for food, but it's communities, us working together, is profit in for all, and not just an individual person gaining from the whole world or, you know, whatever idea is behind them.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about bringing people together. And it's, you know, it takes us to, you know, that's why they call the heart of the home the kitchen. The heart of the home is the kitchen. You know, if you look at anyone, the first thing they want to do is they want to see what the kitchen space is. And what does it look like? And is it functional? And when you have guests over, what's the first thing you do? You're entertaining from the kitchen. And so food ties people together. And doing things together, it's beyond just the sustainability of making sure we have what our body needs as in nourishment. It's something even beyond what you can put a finger to, right? And so that's a beautiful thing.